John chapter number 8. John chapter number 8 this morning. I hope you have a volume of the Word of God. John chapter number 8, verse 48. The Bible says, "Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered and said, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. And I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who makest thou thyself? And Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet I have not known him, but yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And I should say I know him not. I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old. Hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus saying unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast them at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and was passed by. I want to preach this morning just a little while on Jesus, the real deal. Amen? Jesus, the real deal. As we look at this thing and the Bible teaches, now the Pharisees, the Jews, they accused Jesus of having a devil in him. They said he cast out the spirits by devil. He was full of devil. He had a devil in him. And Jesus said, no, said, you dishonor me as I'm trying to honor the Father. Amen. So he goes on over here in his word. He tells them, they said, you're not yet 50 years old, verse 7. Thou art not yet 50 years old. And hast thou seen Abraham? He said, you're not 50 yet, yet you say that you've seen Abraham, who's been dead for a long time. And Jesus answers and he says to him, said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, now watch it, he said, I am. Ego of me. In the Greek, he said, Homer. He said, praise God. He said, I am, praise God, the God of heaven. Praise Lord. He said, I'm the one that come down. I tell you, when I get a hold of that, it blows my mind. It just blesses my heart when Jesus, praise God, he said, I come down. I not only come down as 100% God and 100% man, but he said, I am the very power of God. Amen. Jesus Christ is. That's why we can put our trust and faith in him this morning, because he is that power of God. He is the great I am. Amen. As we look at it, you can look at it in Genesis chapter 3. I mean, Exodus chapter number 3. The Bible talks about it. And Moses comes down there and he asked the Lord. He said, now, Lord, you're going to send me down into Exodus. He said, if I go down there, and I'm paraphrasing here, he said, they're going to ask me who you are. Amen. Now that's reasonable, wouldn't you think? If he goes down and says, hey, listen, I come to bring you out. And they're going to say, hey, wait a minute, fella. Who sent you down here to bring us out? Who give you the authority to bring us out? And he said, when they ask me who sent me, he said, what am I going to tell them? He said, God told them, Brother Junior, he said, just tell them that I am sent you. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. He said, go ahead and just tell them that I am has sent you. Praise the Lord. So you know what? You know the Paul Harvey version, the rest of the story. He goes down in there and he brings them out. And God begins to speak to him in Exodus chapter 6. He said, now listen, said, you know what? He said, these people know me as Elohim. Elohim. He said, they know me as God Almighty. Amen. He said, they've seen what I've done. They've seen the marvelous works that I did. And they know me as God Almighty. But he said, I want them to know me as Jehovah God. Amen. He said, I want them to know me as that eternal, self-existent God. Amen. Not the one that just does the things for them. But I want them to know, praise God, I was the God from the beginning to the ending. Amen. Praise God. He said, I've been there. I've always been there. And I'll always be there. He said, that I want them to know that I am an eternal God. I said this morning, listen, praise God, we need to know this morning, praise God, He is the Lord, He is the great I am. He's an eternal God. He's not just here for us today, and He's not just here for us tomorrow, but He's here for us, praise God, from the beginning to the ending. Amen. from here to yonder, praise God. And He'll always be there for us. What a blessed hope we have. So He says here, amen, He says, I am. Amen. He said, in other words, He says, I am God. And now the Bible says that Philip asked Him, said, Lord, he said, show us the Father and it suffices. Amen. Amen. Philip said, show us the Father. He said, have I been so long with you, Philip, and you have not seen me? Amen. Praise God. And he said, if you've seen me, he said, praise God, you've seen the Father. Amen. Because he is, he said, I am the great I am. Praise God. The Lord of glory. And he came down to earth, praise God, was transformed into a human being. Amen. Lived on this world, praise God. Lived a life, walked with God, walked through in godliness, praise God. Gave his life on the cross of Calvary, died for our sins, and rose again on that third day. He tried to tell him, I am the great I am. And then I am the power of God. He said, I am what, praise God, everything that I've told you that I was. And you hadn't believed. He said, Pete, why don't people believe? I don't know. Why don't we believe? Hey, people, hey, listen, sometimes we're optimistic about it. Just be honest. And we wonder, well, is he really what he said he was? I'm going to say, praise God, he was absolutely what he said he was, and he is still who he said he was. Praise God. Jesus is the real deal, praise God. Amen. We have evidence of it in the Word of God. Jesus said, I am, praise God, and I'm going to say he still is. Hello. Amen. He said, I am. I praise God. He still is the same today. He's not changed. He's the same yesterday and forever. He changeth not. He can't because verse 5 of his being. But what happens is we see people at that the way that he changes us. Now we see a picture here. Amen. The Lord Jesus said he was. We see a picture here, and we know it. We get caught up in it so much, and we go through this life, and we cycle through, and death takes us out of here, and it's just like it's just a continuing cycle that we get caught up in. No, we're just a part in a cycle. But Jesus said, praise God, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. There it is again, Brother Bill. He says, I am.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God, he said, I am the resurrection and life. John chapter 11. Let me just show you. You remember when Lazarus was dying? Amen. Or had died? And Jesus tarried behind and then he went up there. That Lazarus is already dead. He was in the grave. And Mary said, if you had only been here. Said, if you had only been here, my brother had not died. Verse number 21 of John chapter 11. He said, I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus said, he said, thy brother shall rise again. Amen. He said, your brother shall rise again. Why? Because he believed in Jesus. Amen. Lazarus was counted as a friend of Jesus. I wonder if we took a tally today and asked people how they would, and they asked them about you. Could they say of you, other people, not you, but other people say of you that, well, they're a friend of Jesus. They love the Lord. Amen. Amen. Everywhere we go, we ought to have witness. Somebody saying, you know what? I know them. They're kind of weird people. They go around saying they love Jesus all the time. Amen. Hey, you know how you can do that when you really love Him? Praise the Lord. And Martha answered, verse 24, said, saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection to life's day. Now watch what Jesus says to her in verse 25, John chapter 11. He said, Jesus said unto her, I am, there it is again, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? So we see what takes place here, praise God. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks to her, and he said, hey, listen. He said, he's going to rise again. She said, I know he'll rise again at the last day. He said, praise God, I am the beginning. I am the resurrection and the life. He said, I am that power, praise God, that he needs, amen, to bring him out. And how we know the Bible teaches how Jesus died, he rose from the dead. If you look over in John chapter number 20, now I'm going somewhere, just hang on. Well, I know we're going to move through here quickly. But John chapter 20, we know the Lord Jesus, he's been buried, he's been put in a borrowed tomb. He finished His work. He gave up the ghost. He said, it is finished. The work of salvation, praise God, on the cross of Calvary, it was accomplished. Amen. He died for the sins of the world. He said, this part's done. They took Him off of there, wrapped Him in burial clothes, and put Him in a borrowed tomb. And 3 days later, praise God, He got up victorious over death in the grave. He come out of there, praise God. But the Bible tells us that there was a certain lady, Mary Magdalene. She went down there early in the morning. He's in the stone to the sepulcher where they had laid the Lord Jesus Christ. And now look at this picture. And that stone was rolled away. And she peers in there and there's nobody there. Praise God. She was all distraught. But she goes and tells the disciples. And then she comes back. And it comes back to verse number 11. Said, but Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher and seeth two angels in white sitting at the head, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had, look at that, had lain. You know what that word had lain means? It means He ain't there no more. Amen. Man, it means it's a has been. Amen. Praise God. Somebody, somewhere or another, He got gone. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, and they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? And she saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not whether they have laid Him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, knew not it was Jesus. And Jesus said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she supposed Him to be the gardener. Said unto Him, sir, if thou have borne Him hence, tell me where thou hast laid Him, and I will take Him away. She said, you tell me where He's at. Would you please tell me where you moved Him to? He said, you tell me. So I'll take Him away. I'll get Him out of the way. He won't be a burden to you no more. He said, I'll take. Well, glory, you don't understand what's happening here. Mary Magdalene, the one that cast out all the devils out of her, He had took the demons of hell out of her. He had made her a righteous and a virtuous woman. She said, if you'll just give Him to me, she said, I'll take the Savior. I'll take Him unto myself. I'll deal with Him. I'll take full responsibility for my Savior. She didn't even realize she was talking to Jesus till He spoke her name. Amen. Now Jesus saith unto her, Mary, could you just imagine? Boy, when He done that, she's, whoa, I know that voice. You know why? Because He probably spoke to her before. Amen. Praise God. Said she turned herself and saith unto Him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended unto my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your God, and to my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that He had spoken these things unto her. Amen. Now these are... You got to remember, these disciples, they're cowered in the upper room. They done seen what the Jews and the Roman God had done to Jesus. They had done seen the agony and the persecution, amen, that He had to go through. But then the Bible says, then the same day at evening, after Mary had seen Jesus, thought He was the gardener, He said, hey, listen, I'll take Jesus. Amen, I'll take Him. Praise God. That same evening, they said, being the first day of the week. You know that. You know why? You know why we worship on the first day of the week now? Because after Jesus arose, praise God, that He rose on the first day of the week, and that becomes our Sabbath. Christianity, amen. The Sabbath, praise God, was the day of rest for the Jews. But praise God, the first day of the week is when we come together to worship. And if you'll notice, the Word of God, amen, I'm just giving you a little history. The Word of God, it teaches us from here all the way through the book of Acts, which is the establishment of the church. He said that the church worships on the first day of the week. What's the first day of the week? Sunday. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sunday is the first day of the week. Now, we think about it a lot of times as being Monday. But Monday's not the first day. Sunday is the first day of the week. So that's why we worship the Lord on the first day of the week. He said, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be with you. Ain't it amazing that Jesus come in even when we're afraid? Even when we're fearful, praise God. Ain't you glad? I'm glad He goes with me where I go. He's there with me, praise God, all the time, because He's the one that calms our fears. Amen. Amen. We can put our faith and trust in the Lord. You say, preacher, we might end up getting killed, praise God. That's just graduation day if we're a child of God.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. What was in Jesus' hands? Nail holes. Amen. Nail holes. What was in his feet? Nail holes. What was in his side? A spear hole. Amen. Where they had piercing his side with that sword while he's hanging on the cross of Calvary. He showed him his hands and feet. What does that mean? That means that he must have been who he said he was. See, some people say, well, preacher, what happened? You see, this was all, Jesus just faked being dead. Praise God, he had the nail holes, he had a piercing side, he was dead, and he rose from the dead, praise God, and he was proof of that resurrection. The one he had just told Martha about here a while back. The resurrection and the life. He said, when he had so said, he showed him his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said thus, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive you the Holy Ghost. He said, so whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever you sins you retain, they are retained. He said, praise God, the Lord breathed upon them. They received the Holy Ghost. Now what it was, Jesus had done told them over in John chapter 15, 16. He said, I'm going to send you another comforter, which is Jesus Christ the Lord. A counselor, a consoler, somebody to be with you, praise God. So you just pray, keep praising, magnifying God Almighty. He said, I'm going to send you help with a peace in your heart. Praise God, it passes all understanding.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. How could he do that? Because he was the real deal. Amen. He was the real thing, praise God. He said, well, what happened? See, it was a transforming power took place in the resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A transforming power. Now, we see a picture. Let me just paint you a picture. We see a picture of a group of people who are huddled together, baffled by what's going on. They were confused. They were cowering in an upper room, hiding from the mob, thinking, you know what, we may be next. You know, whispering, did you see what happened to Jesus? Oh, I can't believe our Lord. Thought this was the Messiah, thought this was the anointed one, God thought this was the Redeemer of the world. Amen, cowering in that upper room. But something happened, praise God, where they became a bold people. Amen. But they come out of that upper room, praise God, with the Holy Ghost boldness, praise God. They come out with a message. Amen. Hello? I mean, I'm talking about, just look at the picture. They come out from huddling, cowering in an upper room, praise God, to coming out with boldness, with a message of a living Savior, praise God, with a witness on lips that Jesus is alive, praise God. He's alive and well, praise God. He's flourishing. He is God Almighty. He has risen from the dead. Amen. Praise God. I tell you what, you get the Holy Ghost to a heart, praise God, you get to know the truth. And when you get to realize and recognize the real deal, praise God, you'll get over your cowardness. Praise God, that cowardness. Amen. Right? You'll get over that, praise God. You'll have joy in your heart, rejoice in magnifying the God of heaven. Amen. Things will happen different because they have a living Savior. They got to preaching about a living Savior and a kingdom to come. Amen. They had an anticipation of a future. You don't have much anticipation of the future when you're huddled up in a bunch in an upper room, baffled, trying to figure out what's going on. But praise God, for some reason they had a Holy Ghost boldness. Amen. And they come out preaching. And I'm talking about preaching even with the prospect of risking their lives. Amen. Something big had to take place for them to come out cowering out of that upper room. Praise God, to come out preaching boldly to Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. What was it? Praise God, it was the resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. They saw the risen Savior. Amen. We need to see the risen Savior today. And realize, praise God, Brother Scott taught this more. He said at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and I. Bless His holy name. It makes all the difference. Why did it make such a difference? Because there was a profound conviction in her heart. That it took away the baffle, took away the mystery, praise God, and gave them a clear vision of who Jesus was. Everything that he claimed to be, praise God, they come around and said, he is the great I am. Amen. God Almighty said, I want the Elohim, said, I want the powers and the things I've done. Praise God, but they come out of that upper room and say, praise God, he is the I am. Amen. The power of God. Praise his holy name. I'm out shouting and magnifying God. The one who we serve today is the I am.
Amen.
Amen. He is the power of God in the presence of God. So they come out with a little small group of people. Amen. Had no change against the masses of people that were unbelievers. But they come out of there because of the Holy Ghost conviction. Amen. Come out, praise God, shouting and magnifying. A change, praise God. An affirmation of the Lord Jesus Christ. They said, praise God, I've been there and I've seen him. He's alive, praise God.
Amen.
Can you imagine, Brother Bill, when Jesus went in there and there they was, and Jesus just all of a sudden there he was in the midst. Amen. And the Bible said, what about the door being shut? Amen. For fear of the Jews. But all of a sudden, praise God, there he was in the flesh. And they stand there baffled. And they said, could this be? Jesus said, look at my hands. Stick your hand in my side. Amen. He said, behold, it is I. Praise the Lord. He said, it's not another. He said, but it's me. Amen. The same one today that we trust in, praise God. It's the same Lord that rose from the dead, praise God, that gives us victory in the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God. Ain't you glad? The affirming of the Lord's presence was made known to them. That little group of people, praise God, they come out of there with Holy Ghost boldness. You know what a little group of people like this could do with Holy Ghost boldness? Would come out with the great I am, praise God, as the God of the God of heaven in their lives. You know what a difference we can make? He said, well, preacher, there ain't a whole lot of us. Praise God, we can make a whole lot of difference. We ain't a whole lot, but praise God, we can make a whole lot of difference with the help of the Lord. That little group of believers, praise God, they come out of their Holy Ghost, God on their heart, and they begin to make a difference. They begin to preach Jesus Christ so bad that the Jews come in. They said, you're going to have to tell them to shut up. The whole world's going after them. Amen. The whole world's receiving the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. The whole world's going to be saved if you don't make them shut up. Amen. Paul said, I'm just preaching you Jesus and crucified and resurrected, praise God, living, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We see this great event take place, and Jesus had risen from the grave. This is one of the most magnificent historical events that's ever taken place. History recorded it for the ages, praise God. Jesus Christ that has died on the cross of Calvary. Amen. And the Bible said that he went into the heart of the earth. And the disciples, they know this. Now listen, what was such an amazing thing that in all their memory, when somebody died, that they went into death and death's door was locked and nobody had a key. Amen. Death had come and got them. The event that took place, took the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave his life. He laid down his life for the sins of the world, and he went down into the pit. Death had him down in the pit, praise God. It had him, the devil and the nymphs of hell thought, we've got him now. And death said, I'm going to hold on to him. He's not going to get out of here. But let me tell you, an event took place on that third morning, Brother Bill. Jesus Christ ripped the door open from the inside out. He ripped the door of death off. Praise God, went out there, grabbed the devil by the neck, and death grabbed him around the neck, jerked out his stinger, praise God, reached over in his pocket, and he took the keys, praise God, so that he could never lock nobody in again. Amen. Jesus Christ himself overcame death. Amen. That's why them disciples were magnifying God with the Holy Ghost boldness. They said, we don't have to worry about death no more. Our Savior has already overcome death.
Amen.
Amen. Praise his holy name. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter number 1, bless his name. John said, when I saw him, talking about the Lord, the Lamb that slain from foundation of the world, he said, I fell at his feet as dead. Now watch this compassionate Savior. He said, He laid His right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not. Watch this. I am. That right there would make you enough to shout. He said, I am the first and the last. Praise His holy name. Verse 18. He said, I am He that liveth and was dead. Is there any doubt in your mind that Jesus died? Amen. You say, well, preacher, some people say that He just kind of swooned death, pretended to be dead. Well, Jesus is the biggest liar that ever lived. Because Jesus said, I was alive, and then I was dead. He was dead. Amen. He was dead. He said, and was dead, and behold, pay attention, here it is. I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Praise God. He's not only am I alive, praise God, I am alive forevermore. And He said, when I come out of that place, when I rip the door of hell open, praise God, I grabbed a hold of the devil, I plucked his finger out, I took the keys out of his hand, praise God, and I'm in control of that destiny. Amen. Praise God. No man can lock you in hell. No devil can keep you there. He said, praise God. The Lord said, I come to deliver you out of hell. Amen. So why do we have to deal with that kind of stuff, Pastor Jeff? Because of sin. Because of the sin of this world, praise God, we go through a whole lot of things. I wish we didn't have to, but we do. But Paul said we have hope in Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter number 1, he said, verse number 8, he said, but be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel there, according to the power of God. Now watch that. God hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, now watch this, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Jesus Christ, when He seen sin, before sin was ever comprehended in the garden, Jesus said, that man's going to mess up, Father. He said, I'm just going to go ahead and volunteer to go. Amen. To take their place. Praise the Lord. Which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Verse number 10, but is now made manifest. Now that word made manifest, Brother Bill, means to be made clearly. There's no obscurity in it. It's all out in the open. So we can see it. Praise His holy name. But is now made manifest by the appearing, watch this, of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He said, because Jesus told us, praise God, we can believe it. Trust in what the Lord did for us on the cross of Calvary. Why? Because He is the real deal. He's the real thing, praise God. Jesus Christ, our Savior. So Paul said he explains it what God had to do for us, how He opened that door, and He opened the door to eternal life with Christ in that life. Amen. Through the resurrection, the power of the resurrection, Lord Jesus Christ. No wonder they come out of there boldly proclaiming the gospel, Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing was a holding them back. But there's obstacles that hold us back sometimes, isn't there? Sometimes obstacles hold us back. Look at Colossians. Colossians. Paul tells us in Colossians chapter number 1. Paul tells in Colossians chapter number 1, verse 21. Well, he says in verse 20, he said, but having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And what verse number 21, he said, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked work, now hath He reconciled. Paul said there was an obstacle in our way to getting to where we need to be, close to Christ. And he said it's because of the being alienated from God, because of the wicked things and the wicked thoughts and the things that we do. Now let me just say this morning, we don't do wicked things till we think wicked things. Amen? Hello? Are you with me? Let me say that again. We don't do wicked things till we think wicked things. In other words, anything that we do, we've got to have a plan for it. Now I know, especially us men, sometimes our plans are pretty vague. Amen? You ladies didn't have to, amen. The biggest amen I've got this morning. But sometimes our plan is pretty vague. But we have a plan and then we act on that plan. And we don't act on sin, we don't do wicked things till we think on wicked things. That's why we ought to push those wicked things on through so they don't become sin. Amen. All the Jesus was tempted in every way that we've ever been tempted, but yet without sin, because he kept pushing those wicked things on through. When the devil brought those suggestions, praise God, he just kept going. Phew. You remember them old typewriters you used to have where you had to hit the lever, slide it back over. Phew. That's the way Jesus did when he was here. Praise God. He was like one of the old typewriters. Praise God. When the devil brought things to his mind, praise God, phew, phew, he just pushed them on through. Amen. Didn't entertain them. That's why he does better than we do. When we think on wicked things, we're apt to act wicked things out. Amen. That's why we say of our children now that they're acting out. In other words, in their little minds, they think of the little things and they do them. That's why it's up to us to be parents, amen, and say, listen, you can't do that. Even though you think about it, you can't do it. You can't put it into actions. There's some things that's just right, some things that are wrong. Amen. You got to choose the right. So we see the picture, we see the disciples, and I'm going to try to hurry. We see the disciples, we see them in the upper room, see them cowering, but then we see them coming out boldly, praise God, proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ. Because something had happened to them, something, praise God, had been affirmed in our mind, praise God, and give them a confidence. You know what the church needs today? Brother Jeff, we need a confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. A confidence in what He's able to do. The power that He has. Amen. In God's eternal love, He says that we were in enmity with Him. We were sinful. We entertained wicked things. That makes us what? Sinners. Amen. We don't like to say that, do we? Amen. I don't like to say I'm a sinner. Praise God, I'm a sinner saved by grace. Amen. We ever want an old sinner saved by grace. By grace of God, Lord Jesus Christ, through His divine power and the mercy that He gives us, extends to us every day to repent of our sin. Amen. Plead the blood of Lord Jesus Christ so that we can be touched by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. But sin, through God's eternal love, praise God, He still has to deal with sin. Amen. He has to deal with sin. In other words, there's a requirement, a payment for sin. So I want to paint you another picture this morning. We see the picture of the disciples. We see the picture of the cowardness to the boldness to the confidence they had. But the reason they had that was because of another picture. Let me just paint you a picture this morning of a courtroom. You got a courtroom and you've got a righteous judge. And before this righteous judge, praise God, comes an old sinner. Kind of looks like you. Kind of looks like me. And as we come before that judge, we realize that the judge is that the judge is there, and we ask him just to forgive us our sins. Because when we come before him, we see that this judge, this one that's sitting up there, this righteous one, this righteous judgment sitting up there in the row, praise God, he is our heavenly Father. And we come before Him, praise God, we present ourselves before Him. We see that He's our Heavenly Father. And we say, Lord, just would You please just forgive my sins. Amen. And that would have been well and good. But God is a righteous, with tears flowing down from His face. He says, you know what? He says, I love you. He said, but I am the judge. Amen. Hello. He said, please, just forget about this, Dad. The tears running down his face. Can you see his picture? Tears running down the judge's face. He said, I am the judge. I can't just forgive you your sins. It wouldn't be right. So so it comes down to the end, and he bangs the gavel on the table. Guilty. Guilty of death. Amen. You say, Father, you can't. What? Guilty of death? And then that judge, Brother Bill, that righteous judge. Now look at this picture. He's sitting in his throne. He's sitting on his judge's bench. And he says, guilty, guilty. But then he gets up off that bench, tears still flowing down his face. And he takes off that royal robe. And he lays it across that throne. Glory, hallelujah. And he comes down off of that throne to where you are. And there you said, oh no, Lord, I can't be guilty. Lord, I'm so sorry. That judge comes down off his throne, Brother Bill. He comes to where you are. And he puts his arms around you, pulls you to him. He loves up on you, tears flowing. And he puts you behind him. And he tells the executioner, he said, I forgive him. He said, take me instead. I'll pay the price for his sin. You have to let him go. And they take that judge, that righteous judge, that perfect judge, that judge that's always judged in righteousness. And they strap him into your electric chair. And they throw the switch. And he dies in your place. You're guilty of sin, just like I'm guilty of sin. But the righteous judge, the great I Am, took your place. This is not God the third person. This is God the Lord Jesus Christ. 100% man and 100% God. God the Father took your place in the electric chair, in that death. He died for you. He gives himself. See, he had two choices. God had two choices. He had a choice of condemning you to death forever, to die in hell, in the regions of the damned. Or he had the opportunity, he had the choice to offer up himself for your sins and mine. And Brother Bill, you know what he did? He gave himself a ransom. In other words, he paid the price. He bought you out. He put you off the auction block. And he put himself on there. He said, I'll become that ransom. He said, I'll pay the price. He said, I'll become their sin. Took upon himself the sin of the whole world so that you and I might go free. Had two choices. Amen. A righteous God. He could have just flipped us off into eternity nonchalantly, but praise God, I believe with tears, he said, I'll take them. I'll pay the penalty, praise God. I'll take their punishment in myself. Rest his holy name. For God himself, praise God, he come down and he took our sin. The Bible says, he says, for by grace are we saved through faith and not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He said, praise God, the grace of God's extended to us, that gift. And we take it in faith, believing that Jesus died for me. Praise God, he died in my place. I don't know about you, but I believe this morning with all my heart, if I'd have been the only human being walking around during the times of Jesus, when it come time to die, he would have died for me.
Amen.
Amen. He would have died for my sin. Why? Because he is the real deal. He come to seek and to save whosoever that would believe on him. Bless his holy name. Personal Lord Jesus Christ, praise God. And the amazing thing, praise Lord, it's a free gift. The Bible finishes up in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21. He said, now hath he reconciled in the body his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. He said, because we believe on Lord Jesus Christ, when God looks at us, he can't see nothing but his Son. Amen. I tell you what, young, if we're going to hide today, we better hide behind Jesus. He'll find you behind a rock. He'll find you behind a tree. He'll find you in the deepest dungeon in the basements of this world. Amen. The wrath of God will be poured out. He said, but if we'll hide ourselves behind Jesus, because he's the real thing. He is that covering, praise God. And it's a free gift. Amen. It's free. It don't cost us nothing. Amen. We just have to accept it from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gives this to us freely. He says in John chapter 1, verse number 5, First John chapter number 5, verse number 11. The Bible says this, And this is the record that Jesus hath given unto us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. He said that free gift, God's given us life in Jesus Christ our Savior. If we'll just take Him, praise God, we'll choose Him. Amen. He gives us that life. He says again in 1 John chapter number 9, He says this. He said, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He said that blood He shed, that place taken, He done. He said when we confess our sins, He said that covers Lord's blood. You can take a plead blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and it covers all of our sins. Paul said, he that saith he had no sins is a liar and the truth's not in him. Man, what we ought to do every day is just say, Lord, help me not to sin. When we do, say, Lord, forgive me, no sinner. Forgive me for sin. Forgive me for what I've done. Amen. Why? You said, preacher, why should we do that? Because He's the real deal. He's the one we can go to, praise God. He's the only one that we confess our sins to. He's a mediator of one between us and God. And He's already, and we get victory, and we can come to the throne of grace, amen, to receive grace in the time of need, because He is the grace giver. He's that place of mercy we can go. He is our mercy seat today, where we can call upon the Lord, pleading guilty before God, and asking Him to help us, pleading the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that was real blood that was shed for real people like me and you. Amen. Jesus Christ is the real deal today. He's the one we can trust in. Amen. There's no other like Him, praise God. And He's the one that took your place, and He took my place on Calvary. He's the one that stepped down. He said, you're guilty of sin. But He laid that robe aside, and He stepped down off the throne of grace, and He stepped down, and He took our place so that we could go. You might say we were Barabbas, Brother Chris. We were Barabbas. Barabbas is guilty. He was even, when they put him in jail, he'd even committed murder in jail. But Jesus took His place so that Barabbas could go free. You said, preacher, I've been a pretty bad person. You ain't been worse than Barabbas. Amen? But Jesus took His place on Calvary so that Barabbas, type of sin, just as wicked as could be, that Jesus took for you and He took for me on the cross of Calvary. How did He do that? Because Jesus was the real deal.